Good morning. So, hey, you want to be part of it? You want to go up there with Dad? So, good morning, everybody. Join me in welcoming home my husband. I got to pick him up yesterday, and on my way to Seattle, I was listening to my worship music, and one of the words that always, for a lot of the music I listened to, one of the words that kept standing out is redemption. Okay? We talk about, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I know Jesus. But are you redeemed? Have you let the Lord redeem you? So, and I looked up definitions this morning because I wanted to do this correctly. So redemption means deliverance and rescue, to pay off as a mortgage or a bond. It's an act of redeeming. Redemption is an action. Redemption is every day. Redeemed means, yeah, I've been redeemed, but redemption means God's there for me every day, redeeming me again and again, because I'm human. So another word is redeeming, which is it's offsetting or counterbalancing a fault, like sin. Redeeming means that God counterbalances us. He keeps us on the straight and balanced in life. And then redeemed means to be paid, to be recovered, to be bought back. Christ has bought us back from the original sin of Adam. He has bought us back from that. And a perfect example of being bought back was Boaz. When Boaz bought back or got back the property for Ruth, it's funny, he had to take off his shoe. You have to take off something legally and give it for what you're getting back. Christ took off his royalty. He set it aside. He gave it to his father, and he came to redeem us. So this is the word that I want y'all to be pondering, is redemption daily. In being redeemed.
So Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for what you're doing in the room already. We thank you, God, that you were here this morning before anybody even came in the room. Lord, before we even turned the heat on, before we even turned the lights on, you were already here just basking, Lord. Setting your presence be in this place. God, I pray this morning as we worship your name, God, that we would step in to redemption, God. That we wouldn't be satisfied with yesterday's manna. We wouldn't be satisfied with what you did last time or last week or last year. But Lord, that we would actually want something fresh and anew from you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Can we stand today as we get ready to worship? Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why we're here today. We don't want routine. We don't want to do what we did last time. We want something new. We lift your name, Jesus. We lift your name. We'll be right back.
Love me first.
praising your holy name, and I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. Yes, I see glory falling in this place, and I see hope restored, healing of all disease. And I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. And we give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God, and all of the glory, yeah. All of the glory, yeah. And I see glory falling in this place, and I see hope restored, all disease. And I sing praises, I sing praises, I give you honor, worthy Jesus. Come on, sing out, church. We give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. And we give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. One more time, we give you praise. And we give you praise and all of the honor, you are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. And all of the and all of the glory, all of the glory. And let your presence fill this place. Let heaven come. Let your angels be released. Let heaven. is all of the glory. All of the glory. It's all of the glory.
Communion this morning. I wanted to let you know that there are those, I guess you'd call them easy open, not that easy open. There's already pre-configured communion cups there. And then if you want to, you can, we didn't have enough for everyone. So I went back to this old standard way with communion cups and some oyster crackers. So whichever one you want to take, go ahead and get your communion element, and we can bring you one, him. Won't you get one? Got one. Did you get one, Jess? Okay, good. This is from Mark 14. Oops. Had it, I lost it. Hang on a second. We're back to chapter 1. I don't know why I did that. Verse 22. It says, and as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke and gave it to them and said, take this as my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to him, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the new, in the kingdom of God. That this bread is my body. Another place it says, this is my body that's broken for you. I always like to remember that when Christ was broken, it wasn't for nothing. It was so that we could be made whole. In his brokenness, we're being made whole. And I don't think that's just, you know, in a way that, you know, someday we'll go to heaven. I think that means a wholeness to our being, that we're full of life. We're full of the abundance of life that Jesus talks about, that he was broken so that we could have abundant life, that we could live an abundant life. We're not to just get by as Christians. He gave it all so that we could have it all. And yet many of us don't receive everything. We don't receive that redemption. We don't receive the full work of the cross. And when we come to communion, we have an opportunity to remember that work of the cross. As often as you do this, remember me, Jesus said. Not just remember that he went to the cross, but remember what the work of the cross does for us. That it brings us healing. That the shedding of his blood purified us, made us white as snow before God. We're cleansed. We can enter into the Holy of Holies freely without any guilt or shame because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's a finished work. And so we're agreeing today when we take these elements into our being that it's a finished work, that we're allowing to work in a new way in our lives maybe, Maybe we haven't fully received everything today that God wants for us, but right now we can let God do another work inside of us by just receiving, Lord. We receive right now, Lord, this bread, Lord, in representation of your broken body. And we thank you, Lord, that you were broken so that we could be made whole. And right now we receive wholeness into our body, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, whatever it is, Lord. Whatever it is, healing of our families, Lord, healing of, Lord, relationships, Lord, healing of wounds of the past, Lord, we receive wholeness right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being broken so that we could be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him for a moment for being broken for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you were broken. You were broken, Lord, so we could be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. And it said he took that cup. He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Today, this is just grape juice. But we believe by faith that we're participating in the work of the blood of Christ in our lives. It's an act of faith. It's a step of faith when we drink this. We say, Lord, I'm not just drinking grape juice, Lord. I'm drinking in agreement, Lord, with the work of what you accomplished on the cross. That your blood was shed for me. That your blood cleanses my mind, washes me clean. That I'm not just clean from sin, Lord, but my behavior of sin has changed. The mindset of sin has changed because of your blood that's purified and washed me. Lord, we just receive your cleansing afresh today. We receive the renewal in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that comes from entering communion with you. In Jesus' name, go ahead and drink. Thank you, Lord, for your cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just receive that now by faith, Lord, into our lives. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Worshiping you, lifting your name. This
we thank you that in you, Lord, we live and move and have our being. And Lord, you're our one that we can trust in, Lord, to fight our battles, Lord. When we give you everything, when we worship you, Lord, when we spend time with you, Lord, when we make you premier and number one in our lives. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Continue to reveal yourself to us. For those of us who think we've seen you, we know you, and we've experienced you, Lord, I say, just show us more. Reveal more to us. Take us deeper, Lord, into the things of God, deeper into who you are. Show us your glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just surrender the rest of the service to you, the rest of our time together. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts and work in our lives, Lord. We open ourselves up, Lord, to everything you want to do in and through us today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Take a few minutes and greet each other.
So be the God.
Okay. Are you guys ready for our declarations? Okay. Gay's going to go get coffee, so that's good. We're waiting for our declaration runner to get up there. He ran up there. Good. You guys want to stand with me and we'll declare over Yakima the greatness of God, the power of God, his will over this city. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to do this on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we do. We thank you for Yakima, and we declare your will over this city, over every life, over every family, over every business, over the schools, Lord, over our city government, Lord, over the police department, Lord, over the firemen, Lord. Lord, over every area of municipalities, Father, we just declare your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Lord, in the churches, we declare your will to be done in your churches. Your will to be done, Lord, in the pulpits, Lord. Your will to be done, Lord, in the ministries, Lord, that are outreaching to this city. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your hand, Lord, of provision and blessing, your hand of, Lord, of correction and challenge, Lord, would be on this city and allow us to become who you've called us to be, Lord, as a city. And we just submit to the will of God for Yakima. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm hanging up your microphone. Eric's getting it. Sorry, I got so excited about the trophy. So, is this right, Vicki, that Janet French was the last one to win? Janet French?
Yeah, I think she was.
So, we haven't had the chili cook-off for 10 years then, in 2012. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, back by popular demand, right, Vicky, I think you were the one that said, we need to have it. So we're having it again. That's tonight at 5 o'clock. And whoever is the victor will go the spoils of having their name in here for 2022. Cody's another guy that's going to be potentially, because this is all women on here. I don't see one guy. So we got to, come on, guys, we got to redeem ourselves here a little bit. Talking about redemption, right? but yeah, if you've signed up, I didn't bring the sheet today, but I think everybody's signed up already. If you signed up for a salad or dessert, please bring it. And anyone who is entering any chili or into the actually judging probably should be here at 4:45, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's next? Oh, women's luncheon. You can talk about that.
Women's luncheon is next Saturday, and Miss Nancy is going to be bringing the word. We're going to actually be right over here, and we're going to be doing a cooking demonstration. Nancy's bringing her favorite soup. I'm bringing mine. We're going to demonstrate how easy it is to put together. We're going to have baked potatoes. Everybody bring a topping of your choice, and we're just going to get together and just fellowship. Invite your friends. Invite your family. This is a good non-stress time just to get together and be thankful. Start the season out right with thankfulness that we get the opportunity to do that. So it'll be here from 2 to 12 on Saturday, the 5th of November.
That's awesome. That's
huh? Did I say
2 to 12?
2 to 12.
It's going to be a long
be an
event.
Long luncheon, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's a long luncheon.
Obviously, she's not feeling 100% today, but she's here. She's going for it.
12 to 2.
Yeah.
12 to
and 2. That's next Saturday, isn't
next
it?
Saturday.
That's crazy. That's so quick. Okay. And then Gathering 509, Eric's going to talk about that.
Yeah, just so this is the same day, November 5th. We'll be meeting at Riverside Christian School from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And again, this is just a youth worship night. Youth team is leading the worship, and it's just going to be a great night. We have a couple of youth sharing testimonies. My buddy Chris Romero from Cross Point Church, he's another youth pastor in town, is going to be speaking.
Awesome.
And this is just a really cool event that we've been doing as youth pastors in our city, trying to get the youth church of Yakima together. So be praying for us.
So when I can do the video again? Okay. Saturday. This coming Saturday. Again, lots of stuff going on. Okay. I know that the youth had their corn maze events Thursday, and it was a fantastic turnout, and they had a great time, good time of fellowship, and getting scared, so that's awesome. Okay, praise the Lord. I want to thank you all for giving, everyone who gives to the house. Thank you for your tithes, your offerings. You help, you know, with keeping the lights on, keeping the heat on this time of year, which is really good, and allow us to do what we do as the Lord leads us as a people. And if you want to give online, onelifefamilyworship.com, or up front, which is right over there. We had to move it because of the communion, and the one in the back. So bless you all. Thank you again. All right. Well, we are still in 2 Corinthians 13:14. I was quoting somebody this scripture the other day, and I said 13:34. I don't know why I said 34. There's not 34 verses, but let's go ahead and read through it again. I like reading through it each time. We're highlighting a different aspect of this verse. And do you want to read?
I can do it.
Okay, she says she can do it. All right.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the grace shown by the Lord Jesus Christ and the love that God has given us and the sharing of the life brought about by the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's the New King James Version. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And then this is the Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Amen. So again, as I've shared before, this verse popped out at me, like jumped off the page. And you know, when I read it at the time, I thought, oh, this is really, really good. And the part that really jumped off to me was the fact that this was one of those triune verses or triune principles. Again, like I've said, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. There's like a Trinity. We're made in His image. You know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I can name many others. You know, the actual sin process is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Those three. So threes kind of have some power of communicating thought and intent. And I'm not going to get into the full aspect of the three. That will be later on, because as I've been studying this out, I realize there's a process to even this declaration that he makes here. Mm-hmm. But Paul is praying this or declaring this, like we just declare over Yakima, this idea that they would all have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God or the love of the Father, and the communion or fellowship or sharing of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to take a look at the part that the fellowship. Now it says fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but our question is, what is fellowship? What is fellowship? What does it mean when the Bible says fellowship or communion or sharing or participation? It's easy for us to take words that we've heard many years as Christians, maybe even sometimes being taught, even done our own word studies, and we think that we know exactly what a word means. But I like to explore, based upon the word itself and upon the Greek word that's being used here. So we're going to start off with this Greek word.
It's talking about our chili feed tonight.
A fellowship. Yeah, there you go. That is a form of fellowship. Exactly. How many have heard of the word koinonia? Koinonia. Koinonia is the word that means that we use here for fellowship. It also means partnership. Actually, the root word of koinonia, which is, I think it's konio, is 2844, and it's an adjective, but it literally means partnership. It means to have a partnership in something, which I really love this, because it is really describing more than just, you know, us coming to church on Sunday morning and just, you know, greeting each other during the, you know, the 5 minutes we give and say, oh, well, I had fellowship. Well, that's not really fellowship. That's really not, it's really not communion or sharing. It takes time to do that. It doesn't happen in just 5 minutes. Obviously, there's something supernatural that takes place when we gather as a body, and there's some kind of, I believe, transference that we don't see. But there's fellowship goes deeper. It doesn't just affect our spirit. It affects our soul. It affects our mind, will, and emotions when we spend time with each other. It's like the character of Jesus that's in you has a chance to come alive in me, and the character of Jesus that's in me has a chance to come alive in you. And it's so necessary to have this cross-pollinization in the body of Christ. And the only way that we really get it is through fellowship, or Eric likes to call it community, which commune has the same root words. It's getting together. Now, sometimes, you know, people think, well, you know, you can't have fellowship, you know, if you're not in the same room. Well, you can. Fellowship can happen just over a phone call. If you have somebody that's close and dear to your heart, and when you talk to them, they kind of make your, you guys know when you see somebody, their number comes up on your caller ID, oh, you kind of perk up. Well, that's a person that you're probably going to have good fellowship with, because you've got a receiving in your heart for them. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if someone doesn't do that to you, you just, you know, stay on the phone 10 seconds with them and get them off, but because you never know how that relationship could develop. Do you have something?
No.
Oh, nothing. Okay. Also means participation. You know, to partner means you have to participate with someone. A good way, I would say, that this could be applied tonight at our chili feed, after we're all done eating, we've had great food, and we've enjoyed fellowship, sharing with each other. I need people to participate in cleaning up. And that's a form of sharing and caring. So anyone who would like to stay after and help us clean up, you're gonna be koinoniing us.
I like how you slid that in, baby.
I was supposed to say it at the chili cook-off part. Eric's probably going, "You didn't say it." Anyway, I got it in there.
Did you hear me?
What?
I like the way you slid that in there.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, another, this is kind of a difficult word when you're thinking of God, but intercourse. And it just means exchanging. And it's social intercourse. Exchanging back and forth is another word for it. A financial donation or gift can be a koinonia. You ever thought about that? When you see somebody in need or you hear of a need and you participate in solving that need, that's a koinonia effort. That's an effort of participating, sharing in that need. Communication itself, just communication can be koinonia. It's, and if you look there, communication, what do you see as its root there? Commune. Yeah, again, that common. Yep, that commonness. Yep. And then communion, of course, contribution, distribution, and the word, last word there is fellowship. Fellowship is used most of the time in the Bible for the word koinonia. I think it's like 12 or 13 times. The other word that goes along with koinonia is a verb, and I wanted to bring this out because it shows us the action of koinonia, because koinonia is a noun. So it's like a, you know, person, place, or thing. It's what has the main meaning. Well, this word, koinonio, I have a problem pronouncing it. I pronounce it perfectly.
Koinonio,
there we go. Koinonio means to come into communion or fellowship with. It's a verb. It's an action. It means that if you want to have true koinonia, the noun in your life, if you want to say, "I have koinonia with people," it will require koinonio. You're going to need to come into communion or fellowship with Christ or with others. To become a share, to be made a partner. So it's a process. How many know that getting into other people's life is a process? Getting a relationship with the Lord is a process. Mm-hmm. And it has ebbs and flows. My relationship with God's had ebbs and flows through the years. My relationship with people has ebbs and flows. But the thing is that if we want to have true community, true, I believe, church. I'm just going to call it like it is, true church. We'll read it in what they did when they first started as a church, and one of the word was koinonia. This is back in Acts, because it was necessary for the church. And unfortunately, today, the church has gotten to the place where going in on Sunday and putting in your 2 hours, your 1 hour, and some 45 minutes in some places, just to get your coffee, sit down, hear some worship, do some worship, and then hear the message, and you're clocked in for the week. It's not church. It is a form of church because it is a gathering. But true church contains fellowship within it. It contains interaction and community. Otherwise, it's just a gathering. And there's nothing wrong with gatherings. But, you know, the thing is that do we want something that is going to be part of something that's going to sustain us when we go through dark times? Community will help you with that. Community will help you. When you're going through a crisis in your life, I remember when I was going through my divorce years ago, over 20, we're 29 years we're going to go on, so it's almost like another life, but I had community that surrounded me. I had brothers and sisters that surrounded me and lifted me up and got me through that time. Helped me with even my son at times. I mean, I had people that were there for me. It's because I had a body of believers that I was in fellowship with. I wasn't just attending a location. Mm-hmm. Nothing? She's like, okay. The other part that I want to let you know is it's worth noting that the verb, this verb that we just said, of the word is used specially for referring to the closest of all human relationships. Now, this word that we get, koinonia and koinonio, they were used when the Bible was being written. And so before the Bible is being written, this word had that meaning, the closest of all human relationships.
The verb form.
The verb form, yep. Okay. Everybody good? You're so quiet today. I'm used to her saying something every now and then, but it's okay. These are some quotes that I found in the Bible, not in the Bible, in a Bible quote, a Bible scholar quote area, and I picked a few.
Human fellowship can go to great lengths, but not all the way. Fellowship with God can go to all lengths.
And this is true. I mean, people will let you down. I will let you down. But God will never let us down. Don't we sing a song? You're never gonna let me down, no. Yeah, you're never gonna let us down. Now, it may appear because of the way our circumstances look, but if we're having fellowship with him and we're having communion with him and we're interacting and sharing in the Holy Spirit, guess what? There's going to be an ability to go through the storms of life. And as I said, I had friends that gathered around me, but it was really God who sustained me through all of that. As much as I enjoyed the help, enjoyed them caring, and it was really God who sustained me. And I know you've gone through similar. Mm-hmm. What's the next one?
The first one was Oswald Chambers. The second one is Watchman Nee. Fellowship means, among other things, that we are ready to receive of Christ from others. Other believers minister Christ to me, and I am ready to receive.
So that's a powerful statement there, because to have fellowship means you have to open yourself up. You have to open your life for others to come in to be able to receive. You have to be ready to receive. I like that. All right.
Judy Harrell. You were put on this earth to have fellowship with the living God.
Yeah, to have interaction, to have relationship, to have fellowship, a sharing of God. And the next one?
Warren Wiersbe. The Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps constant communion with him will see many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long.
The Christian who walks with the Lord and keeps in constant communion, fellowship, sharing interaction, sharing of life with him, will see many reasons for rejoicing and thanksgiving all day long. So basically what it's saying is if we're staying in relationship with God and keeping fellowship with him, and not just saying, well, I have God in my life, you know, he's my Lord and Savior, and that's good. No, but keeping constant communion. And that's part of what the fellowship of the communion with the Holy Spirit is all about. Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at this first verse that I selected, because it talks about what we just did. You don't have that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, she got the bad list. Sorry. Here you go.
1 Corinthians 10:16, New King James Version. The cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
I love that. Is the cup that we bless, is it not the communion or the sharing, the partnership, the participation of the blood of Christ? And that's what I like to pray when we're getting ready to take those elements, is that we're sharing in the work of the cross. It says that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But what? I've been crucified. I mean, it's an identification that not only did I just get saved to go to heaven, but I got purchased in such a way, redeemed in such a way, that the blood of Jesus Christ is an exchange work in me. It's a sharing work. And it's something that's why we take communion, because it's not just to have a memorial to say, oh, remember Jesus died for us, as much as that would be powerful to remember that. But it's something much greater, because it's a way of us remembering what's alive and active in us. And the same thing, is it not the communion or the sharing in the body of Christ? His brokenness being our wholeness. Guess I already said all that. Okay, let's look at Acts. This is what I was talking about.
Acts 2:42, New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer.
So all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is right after Peter gave the great message on the day of Pentecost. And it says 3,000 were saved. And then it says how the church was the church. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so they were learning what the apostles were releasing from the Holy Spirit and from what they had learned from Jesus, and the fellowship. See, they didn't just go to church. They had fellowship. They got together, and they shared in meals together, and especially in the Lord's table, which was what? Communion. Yep. Communion, yeah. Amen. And to prayer. All right. 1 Corinthians 1:9,
New King James Version. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So not just fellowship with God, not just fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but fellowship with Jesus. What's that mean? Sharing of life with him. Participating, partnership. I mean, all of those words that we read, what fellowship means. And remember, we need the verb active. In other words, it takes an action for that to become real in our life. To truly have koinonia and fellowship with God is going to require the word koinonio, where we are in an action state of having fellowship with him. Okay? Let's look at a few more here.
Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
This is Paul speaking to the Philippians. The New King James Version says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. But it's the sharing of his suffering. I mean, that's like a tough one. Paul, why did you pray that? What do you mean the fellowship? You want a fellowship? You want to share in his sufferings? Well, Paul understood that the Christian life wasn't just meant to be all, you know, candy and lollipops, you know. That there's difficulties, there's trials. Back then there was persecutions because they were Christians. You know, some were burned at the stake, some were sawn in two, some were thrown to the lions. Some were, like Peter, hung on the cross upside down. But Paul is saying, I want to know you, the power of your resurrection, and I want to share in your suffering, becoming like him in death. That's a powerful verse and a scary verse, but it's the truth. He wanted to share. Philemon 1:6.
And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ.
So when I pray, what? That the sharing of your faith, the koinonia of your faith, may become effective. In other words, that you're sharing, your life being shared, that it would be effective, that it would actually produce something. The full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. In other words, live a life sharing koinonia, not just, you know, you need to know Jesus, but koinonia means you're going to get involved in other people's lives. You're going to spend time with them. Maybe, you know, it's going to take you to say, Holy Spirit, do you have somebody that you want me to have a relationship with? Is there somebody at my workplace that maybe right now I don't even get along with them, but could you open the door that we could connect and I could start sharing koinonia, my life, with them, and that it would have an effectiveness for the sake of Christ? Amen? All right. And then one more about sharing.
Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Do not neglect to do good and to share. To koinonia. And this is talking about all kinds of things. This could be your food. This could be you know, like where you've heard in the scriptures, you know, a brother comes to you and says, hey, I don't have any food. I don't have any money for food. I don't have a place to stay. And, you know, you just say, oh, well, be well and go and be fed. You know, may the Lord bless you, you know, and you let him go. Well, you didn't koinonia them. You didn't koinonio them. You didn't share of the resources that God has given you. You know, our resources just aren't for ourselves. They're not. They're for other things. They're for, and the Lord will put things on your heart that you're to koinonia with, because we're part of a body. We're part of a community, not just this church, but you may see a brother and sister in need, and the Lord will put on your heart that you're to participate in their need by sharing with them. You know, it's, call it an offering. Some would call it, you know, a donation. But it's truly koinonia. You're really taking that need, that burden that you feel, and you're entering into helping them with it. And I believe there's a blessing in that. You can't outgive God. Amen? All righty. Final two verses. A lot of verses today. All right, you ready?
Yes. 1 John 1:6-7. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
If we say we have fellowship with him, if we're declaring, oh, I have koinonia with God. I have a relationship that I'm sharing and participating and actively koinonio in. In other words, it's something that's a verb that's active in my life. Yet, while we walk in darkness, in other words, we're out there doing our own thing, getting involved in stuff that's of no good, not good for us, not good testimony. It's not pleasing to the Lord. It says that we're lying. And we're not practicing the truth. Ouch. This is 1 John. This is the one who says, you know, later on in chapter 4, it says, there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. Well, the same guy who wrote that amazing verse that we love to quote also said, if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying and there's no truth in us. So fellowship with God means our life is changing. If our life isn't changing, then we're not really having fellowship with God. If the fruit of our lives doesn't show others the character and nature of Christ, then we're not having fellowship with God. We have to have fellowship for fruit to be produced. Do you have something there now, finally? I see the wheels. Did I see the wheels finally turning?
Well, because I've been pondering all day, and over the past 6 months, I have received a couple of diagnosis that has really changed, I mean, not the diagnosis, but the actual things that are wrong, has really changed my life.
Our life.
Our life, both of our lives. And and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about, you know, how we walk in the light.
As he is in the
light. As he is in the light, but we're still suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That, man, that's where the rubber meets the road.
That's hard.
That's not easy. And day before yesterday, I was out, and I used to be able to go to store after store after store. I was buying birthday things for our granddaughter, and I actually had to do my mental list and decide what I want to do and what I can give up, because it, you know, how hard it is to get in and out of my car. And so I'm asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to do? And so I had gone to the store to get the things for Ada's birthday, and then I told Mike I had several things I wanted to do, but I only had enough strength for one more thing. And so I drove over to where I get my hair cut, and it's a walk-in. You can walk in and get your hair done. You don't need an appointment. It's one of those cheap ones, you know.
They did a great job, by the way.
And there was nobody in there. I'm like, the Lord, like, opened it up for me to be able to go in and get my hair cut. And the gal that had cut my hair before, she was in there, but she wasn't. Nobody was in the common area, in the hair cutting place, in the entry. No customers, nobody working. And she comes out and she's chewing, so I know she had been back there eating her lunch. And she's like, "Oh, you want to get a haircut?" And I'm like, "Yes, please." And so I'm like, "Yes, I'd like a haircut, please, but I'd like the full meal deal because I really like people to wash my hair and rub it, and, you know, give me a scalp rub and stuff. So I want the whole meal deal." And so I did that, and we struck up a conversation, and I said, "So what do you do when you're not cutting hair?" You know, I thought, you know, easy question. She goes, "Ooh, that's a hard one." And she said, "Well, life is changing for me. And so it's a new way of living." And I said, she said, "I'm a mom." And I said, "You are?" And she said, "Yeah." She said, "I have a 21, and I thought she was going to say 21-month-old because she looked really, really young to me. And she goes, "I have a 21-year-old. And I'm like, "Hold the phone." I said, "Stop cutting." I turned the chair around to look at her, and I said, "You are not old enough to have a 21. Like, totally shocked that she looked so young. Anyway, anyhow, so we're doing this conversation, and she's like, "Yeah." She says, I said, "Well," she said, "What about you? What do you do when you're not getting your hair cut?" And I said, "Ooh, that's complicated." But I told, you know, my husband and I pastor a church. She goes, "Oh, what church do you pastor?" And I told her where we were at. And she goes, "Oh, I really need to get back into church." And she said, "Is it a Christian church?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a Christian church." And I said, "And we're small but mighty. We love Jesus so much, you know." And she goes, I decided to myself, that's something I really need to do, is get back into church." And I said, "Well, you'd be welcome, but, you know, if you don't decide, I still believe that that's a good move for anybody to make, you know, when things are changing in their life." And so we're still talking. She's cutting my hair, and I'm not even looking at the haircut. Like, she's like, "Feel it, see if it's enough off," because I like them to thin it out. And she goes, "Feel and see if it's enough." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's perfect. You want me to dry it?" "Yeah, dry a little bit." And she did. And she goes, "Oh, this is going to be so cute." I didn't even look in the mirror. Like, she could have shaved me bald and I would not have noticed because my heart was just beating so hard. Like, in the car, I'm thinking, I can go to the store and buy the stuff for Ada and I can make it to the hair cutting place, but I know I'm going to have to go home. But here's this one that the Lord just led me to, and I have this opportunity to minister to her heart. And God made it so easy by no cars parked out front. They're right next door to Starbucks, for pity's sake, and there was nobody even parked at the Starbucks. Like, it was empty for my one car. Like, take your pick, because nobody was there. God made it so easy. And I'm like, "Lord, if you want me to do more, you need to just tell me. I'll do it, you know, because I'm not afraid. I just, you know, I'll do it." And so I remember when Eric was saying something about just asking, you know, how can you pray for somebody? And I'm going to just stop the story long enough to say, last week I flew down to Dallas to be with our friend Dee Dee. She was the one that had been going here for a little bit, that had just lost her husband to COVID at the 1st of January. And her and her sweet sister flew me down there so I could go to a conference and all that. And we had gone to a meal, and her sister said to this young little gal that was waiting on us, "How can we pray for you today?" And I just, like, sat there, like, you know, in awe of my friend Shish, because she's, like, so bold and just like, you know, "How can we pray for you?" And that really It didn't convict me, but it encouraged me that, you know, I can be doing more.
Right.
And so when I was getting up, I didn't even look to see what my hair looked like. I had no idea, because it was almost like God blinded my eyes so that I didn't care what it looked like. Like I said, I could have walked out there bald and I would not have noticed it. But I was at the, what? Oh, right. Yeah, we'd be matching twins. But I walked to the front and I paid, and you know, when you pay, it says, you know, how much do you want to add to a tip? And I did the tip, and the Lord said, no, you need to double that. Well, it had already gone through, so I had to reach in my purse and give out. And I said, you know, I just want to double that. And so I gave her the cash. And she goes, oh, my goodness, thank you so much. And I said, you're welcome. And I said, how can I pray for you? How can I get Koinonia. Together with you, koinonia you, to pray for you for your life? And she said, just guidance. I just need guidance. And so I said, would it embarrass you if I prayed for you right here? She goes, oh, heck no. Like, you know, she didn't care. I'm like, oh, I love that kind of spirit, because that's how I am. And so I did. I just put my hand just on her hand, on her arm, and I began to pray for her and ask Jesus for guidance. And I'm saying all of that to say that even when, you know, we're talking about all of this, what are we talking about?
Koinonia.
The koinonia, yeah, but we're talking about more than that.
Fellowship, sharing, participating, yeah, engaging in others' lives.
Even when you're not, you know, God wants us to be whole and healthy, but even when you're not, he can still help you be able to minister in his name.
Absolutely.
You don't have to just give up on life because you don't feel good or you don't have the strength. God can still make opportunities for you to show people how much you love him. And people are desperate, you guys. They're desperate for Jesus and everything that he represents. And I'm thankful for the time I got to go and spend with Dee Dee. And I'm thankful for you guys. And I'm thankful for today and all of that. But I just think there's so much to all of this that we're missing. I think there's so much more to what we're doing that we're just missing out on. And I think that part of it is, what's my part? You know, part of it is, what do I do? Because it can't be left on just pastor's shoulders to bring people to the church. He calls us all to minister to people and friends and loved ones, and even ones that aren't our loved ones. Like, he does it for all of us. And we just need to step up to the plate and ask him for, you know, what do you want me to do today? And he'll tell you if you ask. He will. So.
He will. Amen. Amen. Last part of the verse.
So if you guys remember Christina, if you'll pray for her, that's her name.
Let's pray for her right now. Father, we do. We just lift Christina before your throne of grace, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity for Gay to share her life, Lord, and time with her, Lord, on Friday. And we pray, Lord, that you just continue, Lord, to work on this woman's heart. Lord, as she said, I need to get back in church, Lord, I pray that you would turn that into, I need to know you more, God. I need to know you more, God, and that you'd send people her way, people, Lord, that will speak the truth, Lord, people, Lord, that will share the character and nature of Christ, Lord. And we just ask that you would just continue to do a mighty work in Christina right now, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Last part of this verse says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we're in that light, if we're having fellowship with him and letting that light penetrate us, like you're letting his light penetrate your life, even in this dark time, then we can have fellowship. We can have koinonia with one another. And those outside of of what we would consider ones that would receive koinonia. And that blood of Jesus, that purified blood, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
So koinonia is something that will help us to stay purified, it says there. Isn't that crazy? Fellowshipping, having relationship with one another, helps us stay in good relationship with God. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, I thank you that, number one, Lord, you have chosen to have fellowship with us. Lord, you have partnered with us, Lord, in this walk. You've, Lord, you've participated, Lord, in our fall, Lord, by taking on, Lord, our sin upon you and redeeming us and buying us back and making us, once again, Lord, your full children, able to walk in the light of your love. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that all of us, Lord, would learn to have deeper fellowship with you as you have first had fellowship with us, and then have fellowship with each other, have koinonia. Lord, I just ask that your perfect work, Lord, would continue to happen in each and every heart right here and right now. Those listening in the future online, Lord, that you would have your perfect work in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you. Never stop, can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, if we can't get enough, all this is for you, Jesus. Come and consume God, all we are, give you permission, our hearts are yours, we want you. Give you permission, hearts are yours, we want you, we want you, yeah, come and consume God, all we are, we give you permission, our hearts are yours, we want you, we want you, come and consume God, come and consume God, all we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours, we want you, yes we do, we want you, how we love you, Jesus, we love you, and we'll never stop. For you.
daily basis to be the light of this world. Be in fellowship, Lord, with your people, with your sons and your daughters, God. God, I pray, Lord, for this fellowship today, this fellowship that we got with one another, that we would take this, and practice this throughout the week, throughout our days, with our coworkers, with our families, with the person at the grocery store, God, the person that we run into, Lord, at the post office, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you give us every opportunity to practice fellowship. Let it be our heart, God, that we would not just be people spectating, but we would be active participants in the kingdom of God. And I just pray a blessing, Lord, over all of us, over our week, over our lives, over our health, over our finances, over our families. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your presence, God. We just bless every person in this place. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. See you guys at Chili Feed.